Well, today is, we're still on section 3 of laying the foundations, which is the gift of tongues. And today will be parts 3 and 4 of section 3. And what we've covered so far are different ways that tongues manifest and their purpose. We've spoken about and learned about tongues for intercession. Tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. Tongues for interpretation. And then we began taking a look at tongues for edification, also referred to as praying in tongues. Now go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's take a look at verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. When Christians pray in tongues, they're speaking mysteries. That's what he says right there. It's very clear. And the word mysteries comes from the Greek word mysterion. And it means some sacred thing, hidden or secret. Some sacred thing, hidden or secret, which is naturally unknown. Which is naturally unknown to human reason and is only known by the revelation of God. It's only known by the revelation of God. Now, let me just throw this out right now. The Lord just kind of brought this to my attention. I taught laying the foundations about over 20 years ago. And the handouts that we're using this time around are essentially the same. However, there are some changes that have been made. So you really can't rely on the handouts from before. Generally speaking, yes. But you really need to get the new handouts and keep them updated. So anyway, the word mysterion or mysteries, some sacred thing, hidden or secret, which is naturally unknown to human reason and is only known by the revelation of God. Essentially, this means that we are praying about things we do not know or understand with our natural mind. We are praying about things we do not know or understand with our natural mind. In other words, we are praying about things that are a mystery to us. And this is similar to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, when he wrote, when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. And when you think about it, it's extremely arrogant for any Christian to believe that he or she knows everything that needs to be prayed about, because you don't. You don't know everything about other people's lives. You don't know everything about your own life. You don't know everything about various circumstances. But God does. And one of the reasons this is so critical is because God, and as you know, the Holy Spirit is God, He knows the beginning from the end. He knows everything that has happened, is happening, and is going to happen. This is why he is able to pray the perfect will of God in us, to us, through us, for God's will to be accomplished. And this is so important, because a lot of Christians, they don't think they need this. And, you know, when God tells you what praying in tongues will do, I don't know why you wouldn't want to, you know, partake of it. Well, these mysteries we are praying will always be relative to God's will. Always be relative to God's will. And again, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 pretty much bears that out. Everything, all these mysteries we are praying will always be relative to God's will. It can be His will for us or for someone else. And it's interesting, there are some Christians who believe, they believe in praying in tongues, but they have this idea that when they pray in tongues, they're the ones telling God what they're going to pray for, and that God has to line up with that and pray for it by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's not true. The Holy Spirit, we're vessels. And when we begin to pray in the Spirit, it is God moving by the Holy Spirit in us, so that when we pray, we are praying the will of God into this world, if you will. And it could be God's will for us or someone else. Because, why someone else? Well, there are a lot of people out there, Christians, they need to pray and they don't. And so God will use us to kind of stand in the gap, if you will, even if it's not through the, you know, travail and groaning in the Spirit, praying in tongues for intercession, but as we're just praying in tongues, for all we know, you know, we're praying for somebody else in the church, we're praying for somebody else halfway around the world. It's whatever God wants. We're yielding ourselves to Him, and we're saying, you know, here I am. You know, I'm going to begin to pray in tongues here. Use me, pray your will, whatever it is, whether it's for me, my kids, my neighbors, anybody. It can even be for people that a lot of Christians say you shouldn't pray for. You know, they're beyond hope. Well, you know what? From our perspective, unless God gives us some kind of supernatural revelation, nobody's beyond hope. I mean, they just aren't. Even the people who are most evil, vile-acting humans on earth, unless God says they're beyond hope, that's it. We don't know that. We cannot judge whether or not a person is beyond hope based upon what we see in their actions. Now, again, these mysteries are relative to God's will. His will for us or someone else, depending on how the Holy Spirit is praying through us at a particular moment. As we pray in tongues, we may be praying about such things as identifying and learning how to fulfill our ministry calling. Identifying and learning how to fulfill our ministry calling. And so many Christians, they want to know, you know, well, what is God's will for me? Well, this right here is an excellent way to begin learning what God wants you to do, your ministry calling, whatever it would be, and then how to fulfill it. We could also be praying about habits and behaviors that God knows should be stopped. Habits and behaviors that God knows should be stopped. These are the habits and behaviors that we know should be stopped, as well as habits and behaviors that we don't think are any big deal, but God knows they need to be stopped. And we need to leave this up to God. Now, some things, obviously, we know we shouldn't do. And hopefully we've all, you know, grown beyond those. We're not doing them anymore. But along with that, we may be praying about job circumstances. Don't ever, 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 ever make a job decision based upon what that job is offering you. Never. There are pastors who do this. Meaning, well, right now I'm pastoring a church of this size, and boy, that big church over there, they're offering me this opportunity. I'll be making, you know, 50% more money. They're offering benefits and a this and a that and a so forth. Why, it's got to be God. It's got to be God. No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to be God at all. It can be Satan moving some way, somehow, to pull you out of where God wants you. Let me just throw this out. If God's called you to pastor, you pastor where God puts you, and don't you ever look at the green grass on the other side of the fence, because for all you know, it might be AstroTurf. It's not real. You stay where God's planted you. I remember a preacher friend of mine. He traveled around, great ministry, and somebody asked him one time, now, how come you keep going to some of these small churches? You know, you could really be going to all these really big churches, big offerings and so forth. why do you keep going to these small churches? And he responded and said, because in the kingdom of God there are no small people. So you always stay where God wants you. You can be praying about financial problems. And what you might perceive as a financial problem may not be a financial problem at all. But yet God knows what you need. He knows how to supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do not go by what you think ought to be done, what people tell you ought to be done, what the banker tells you, what the TV advertisements tell you. You pray. You may be praying about family situations. Parents, I'll have you know something. God knows your kids better than you. Now, that may be hard to believe, but God knows your children better than you. And those kids that give you fits, trust me, God knows what's going on. There's times when you say, I just don't know what their problem is. God says, I do. I know what the problem is. This is why praying. And you can be praying in tongues, and you might think you're praying about a plumbing problem at home. And God is saying, well, we'll get to the plumbing issue, but right now, I'm going to use you to pray for your children. You've prayed, I don't know what else to pray for these kids. And the Holy Spirit is saying, but I do. Turn me loose. Let me intercede for them. You may be praying about anything that concerns your spiritual maturity. And oh, how important that is. Your spiritual maturity. The more we pray these mysteries, the more we will begin to understand them. The knowledge and information given from the Holy Spirit to our spirit, will be passed from our spirit to our mind. Don't ask me how that works. It just works. I can't give you a mathematical formula to explain it. That's just how it works. As this process continues and increases, what we want will line up with God's will. Look over in Psalm 37. We'll be coming back to 1 Corinthians. But in Psalm 37, and take a look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I know years ago I thought that means, ooh, that's great. I'll delight myself in the Lord and He'll give me whatever I want. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. See, what happens is, when you make the decision to set your affection on things above, and you delight yourself, or you choose, my delight is in the Lord, then that opens the door of your life for God to begin working in such a way to where all that stuff that you think means so much right now, it begins to diminish, and everything that's important to Him begins to rise up. And His desires then become your desires. What's interesting, if you pay attention to a lot of the songs we sing, you know, Lord, I give you my heart. All these songs that we sing, that's what this is talking about, delight yourself in the Lord. And it's interesting how we sing those songs, but sometimes it's kind of like we don't really understand. We don't realize what it is we're singing. Well, these songs are trying to bring us into that place of delighting ourselves in the Lord. And then over in Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove, understand, know His delight. Whatever that would be. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 4, it says, He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now, we're not going to get into that whole issue of the prophesieth, but basically that word prophesieth is talking about declaring the word of God. Not simply, yay, and in 3 days, here's what's going to happen. No, it's prophesying or declaring, speaking forth the mind of Christ, the will of God, at any given time, in any given situation. Now, anytime we pray in tongues, we are edifying ourselves. Now, this is really important. I want to grow in you, Lord. I want to grow. I'm going to be more like Jesus. All right, then you know what? Pray in tongues. Edify yourself beyond where you are right now. We're edifying ourselves. The word edifieth comes from a Greek word, oikodomeo. It means to build, construct, erect. To build, construct, erect. Since praying in tongues is our spirit interacting with the Holy Spirit, the edification would then be spiritual. Since praying in tongues is our spirit interacting with the Holy Spirit, the edification would then be spiritual. He's training us as we pray in tongues. See, you can't go by what you feel. You have to go by what's recorded in Scripture to really understand this. And it's an act of faith on our part. You know, God, I don't understand, you know, edify. I don't understand how it really works. And God says, well, don't worry about it. Just do it. Just do it and let it happen. Another way to state this would be, we are building ourselves up spiritually, or spiritual growth. We're experiencing spiritual growth. We're building ourselves up spiritually, or we're experiencing spiritual growth. You know, think of it like this. If he says, when you pray in tongues, you're edifying yourself. Okay, so what happens if you don't pray in tongues? I mean, I've shared many years ago, and off and on, I've shared this. Think in terms of, you know, the cause and effect principle. And what is the opposite of what you're reading? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Okay, what then, he that doesn't speak in an unknown tongue? What is happening? He's not edifying himself. This is not rocket science. This is not Einstein physics. This is very simple to understand if you just take the time to look at it. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, well, Scripture explains why this growth is taking place. It explains it here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man is to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Man is to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Natural bread sustains the natural man. Natural bread sustains the natural man. Spiritual bread, God's word, sustains the spiritual man. Spiritual bread, which is the word of God, sustains the spiritual man. Romans 10:17 then declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 1:17 and 2 Corinthians 5:7 go on to state that as Christians we are supposed to live and walk by faith. We're supposed to live and walk by faith. Now, I know that the faith teaching has been hammered over the years because a lot of well-meaning preachers have mistaught the concept. But think of it like this. Jesus lived and walked by faith. We're to do the same. He set the example for us. Now, what's interesting is that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, because he is the one giving us the words to pray when we pray in tongues. He's the one giving us the words to pray when we pray in tongues. It means that praying in tongues is literally praying the words of God. so important to realize and understand. As Romans 10:17 has explained, faith comes through God's word. Thus, praying in tongues causes us to grow spiritually in the area of faith. In other words, we are edified or built up in that area of our life by which we are supposed to live. Keep this in mind. This is something that I think escapes a lot of Christians. The Bible is the Word of God. We would not dispute that. When we pray in tongues, who is it that's praying through us, if you will? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is giving to us the words we are to pray. Now, the Holy Spirit is God. So the Holy Spirit, God, is giving us the words to pray. Then we pray them. So what are we doing? We're speaking the Word of God. Now, you look here in 1 Corinthians, just verse 4 again. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. You hear that? Now, you read it silently, but I spoke it out loud. Is the Bible the Word of God? Yes, it is. So I just now, in my language, the language you understand, I spoke the Word of God. When I'm praying in tongues, when we're praying in tongues, we're doing the exact same thing. We're not necessarily quoting Scripture, but we are speaking the Word of God. I think the biggest challenge in this is the fact that our minds are unfruitful, meaning we do not understand the language, so sometimes it's almost as though it's difficult for us to comprehend that what we are speaking is something that has come directly from God Himself. We are speaking the Word of God. And what did God say? He said, when my Word goes forth from my mouth, it won't return void. It's going to accomplish everything I send it forth to accomplish. So from His mouth, the mouth of the Holy Spirit, He's telling us, say this. Say this, because it's my perfect will. And we begin to pray in tongues. We're speaking forth the Word of God. We are speaking forth words that can absolutely change our circumstances and impact the people around us. Do you remember in Scripture, from like in the Old Testament, time to time, God would tell somebody, you know, speak to this, you know, say this. And then they would say it. Well, that's no different than when we pray in tongues. Because in the Old Testament, it wasn't tongues. It was God telling them in a language they could understand. Well, by the same token, the Holy Spirit is telling us what we're supposed to speak. We just don't understand it with our mind. So you know what? We just do it. And we accept the fact we're making some headway here. We're making some progress. I don't know what all it is, but I do know this. What I just prayed in tongues is not going to return void. It is out there now bringing to pass the will of God. I think that ought to excite you. And it ought to be motivating so that, yeah, you know, I think I need to pray in tongues a little bit more because it's working. Now, how many times have you planted a flower? You know, you put the seed in the ground. Here not too long ago, we've been struggling in our yard. There's a spot in the yard, long story short, to where grass was growing, then it stopped, and it died. Last year, the drought we had, I mean, this spot, and it didn't matter what I did. I mean, you asked me, did you do this? Yeah, I did that too. And so this time around, I thought, okay, I'm going to do something else. And so I dug out about, maybe 2-3 inches, maybe 4 inches of dirt, just dug it out, got rid of it, bought new lawn soil. It's supposed to have fertilizer mixed in with it, and boom, dumped that in. And then I took grass seed, and I put down a lot more grass seed than what they recommend, because as far as I'm concerned, something's going to grow here. I don't know. And then you have to mix in the grass seed and with the dirt and all that. And been watering it. And I haven't seen any results. I've been out there speaking to it, grow in the name of Jesus, grow, you will grow. You hear me? I speak life to this grass seed. Nothing. And then the other day, it was Thursday. I'm out there watering it, and I heard the Lord tell me, give it extra water today. I said, all right. So I gave it extra water. I got up the next morning, and there was grass between a quarter and a half inch tall overnight. And I thought, yeah. Now here's the point I'm getting at. I put that seed in, and in the past, no results whatsoever. This time around, it's growing. Praying in tongues is like sowing seed. Remember what Jesus said. The sower sows the word. The word, the seed, okay, that's the word of God. Praying in tongues is like sowing seed. When you pray in tongues, don't expect results tomorrow morning. I mean, it could happen. Patience. Keep praying. Keep watering what you've sown with prayer. Keep speaking it. Be encouraged. It will come to pass. In Jude, look over in Jude. And again, we'll come back to 1 Corinthians. But in Jude, and in the 20th verse, it says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, when we're praying in tongues, we're edified or built up in that area of our life we're supposed to live by. The phrase building up here in Jude, it comes from the Greek word epoikodomio, which is similar to the built up. Anyway, it means to build upon, to erect a superstructure. To build up, to edify, to build upon, to erect a superstructure. In other words, what it means, it's like you're building layer upon layer, all right? You know, story upon story, layer upon layer. Praying in tongues assists us to erect a superstructure of faith in our spirit. However, and this is so important, praying in tongues is not a substitute. Praying in tongues is not a substitute for reading and meditating the Bible. Please, please, please get that settled. Well, I don't need the Bible, I'll just pray in tongues. No, no, no. You pray in tongues, yeah, you need them both, okay? They're partners. You got to have them both. You have to pray in, you have to put the Bible in, and you got to pray in tongues, because praying in tongues essentially enhances and accelerates the spiritual growth which comes from reading and meditating the Bible. Praying in tongues essentially enhances and accelerates the spiritual growth which comes from reading and meditating the Bible. Think of it like this. The sower sows the word of God is the seed that you sow. So you read, you're listening to it, you're putting the Bible in, then you pray in tongues. That's fertilizer and water to get that word to grow. Now I'm just using that as an analogy to help you understand. Because see, the Holy Spirit knows exactly how the word operates within us to bring about God's will and how it is going to produce the faith. Let me say it like this. A lot of Christians say they're walking in faith or believing in faith. What they're actually doing is walking in, believing in, according to what you might call a mental exercise. And because they know the Word, it doesn't mean that the Word is producing the faith that they need. And this may sound counterproductive, but see, you can have folks out there with what you call a photographic memory, atheists. They can read the Bible and quote it to you. Well, they know it, but there's nothing in there, see, spiritually. This is why you have to keep getting into the Word, but praying in tongues brings about a transformation to go from, well, yeah, I know what the Bible says, to living by what the Bible says, living by faith. Unless a person prays in tongues, he will never experience the fullness of what is described in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 2 and 4. Unless a person prays in tongues, he'll never experience the fullness of what is described in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 2 and 4. Because here, what we've read in 1 Corinthians, it makes it very clear, you have to speak in tongues. You have to pray in tongues for this to happen. And there are Christians who can say, well, I don't need that. See, I can get the exact same thing by praying with the understanding. I don't need to pray in tongues. Okay, the logic behind that is so convoluted. Think of it like this. How do you get born again? Well, you got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You have to believe that God raised him from the dead. You have to pray to receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be born again. All right, well, we all know that. But what if you're talking to somebody and they say, well, no, I don't need that. Because, see, if I go to church and I read my Bible and I give offerings and I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't do drugs and I don't watch pornography and I don't cheat on my wife, okay, I get the same thing because I'm doing all this stuff that's right. I will get the same thing. And you tell them, well, no, you have to be born again. They say, but I can achieve the same thing by doing this other. Now, we know that you can't. We know that you cannot obtain born again by doing all the right things. You must accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, then to come around and say, I don't need to pray in tongues because I'll get the same thing praying with the understanding, it makes no sense. Because if the Bible says you must be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven, then you must be born again. And if the Bible says you edify yourself and you speak the mysteries when you're praying in tongues, then that's what it means. You see what I'm getting at? It is, you can't, I don't care, listen. And some Christians, they are so convinced, I get the same thing praying with the understanding. There comes a point in time, you just have to say, okay, well, you know what? Here's what the Bible says. Do what you want with it. I mean, there's nothing else you can do. Because some Christians are so set in their ways, they're just not going to change. Well, again, in 1 Corinthians 2, or 14, verse 2, he says that when you're speaking in tongues, praying in tongues, that you are speaking the mysteries, mysteries of God. One of the biggest mysteries that a Christian will pray will be the mystery of understanding God's Word. The mystery of understanding God's Word. Every single one of us have at times been reading the Bible and thought, I have no idea what this is talking about. Well, guess who knows? Yeah, the Holy Spirit, exactly. Far too many believers seem to feel that understanding the Bible is almost impossible. Far too many believers seem to feel that understanding the Bible is almost impossible. Some appear to think that only certain Christians are appointed by God to understand Scripture. That's just weird. But, you know, I can see how people could come to that conclusion. You go to a church and the pastor stands up and he's teaching. And he is excessively knowledgeable about the Greek and the Hebrew. And so he can deliver all this information. And he makes it sound like that he really knows a lot. And he does, too. I mean, no arguing there. But see, that can make an impression on the people of the congregation that it's hopeless for me. I mean, well, he's the pastor. He's supposed to know. You know, I'm just, you know, as Pastor Dave would say, You know, I'm Mary Wallpaper. I'm Joe Public. I'm just a pew sitter. I can't know what the pastor knows. That is not true. In fact, that is not true. The reason I'm saying that is because in my years of pastoring, there are people in the congregation, I know that's what they're thinking. I know it is. Because they've convinced themselves, I don't know what, that they're too dumb or whatever. No, absolutely not. You have the capacity to know and understand the Word of God. These ideas of, well, I can't, you know, only certain people, only certain scholars and whatever, these ideas cannot be supported by the Bible. They cannot be supported by the Bible. Again, we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians, but look over in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11. Jesus is speaking to those with him. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. In other words, until he's speaking prophetically. For those of you who are in the kingdom, it's given to you to know and understand the word of the kingdom, the word of God. To the others that are without, they can't understand because they don't have the capacity to understand this. It is indisputable, that God wants all Christians to know and understand his word. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at this. In verse 6, Paul writes, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. There you go. They're revealed to us. Now, the reason we have the ability to understand the Bible is because we no longer have a sin nature. We no longer have a sin nature, but instead have a born-again spirit with the nature of God. We have a born-again spirit with the nature of God. Our new nature has a mind like that of Jesus and has the capacity to clearly understand the Bible. We have the capacity to clearly understand the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 2:16 it says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ means that our born-again spirit has the potential to think and reason as Jesus would think and reason. This is so amazing and so incredible. We'll never become deity, but we have the ability to think and reason just like Jesus because we have the mind of Christ. People with a sin nature do not have the capacity to fully understand the Bible. Likewise, carnally minded Christians, those who turn to man's doctrines or their own natural mind and natural reasoning, those who turn to man's doctrines or their own natural mind and natural reasoning will greatly hinder their ability to know and understand the Bible. And I've shared this in the past so many times. When it comes to studying and meditating scripture and so forth, If you rely on commentaries, then you're setting yourself up for a lot of deception. You can't do that. You know the greatest commentary is the Holy Spirit. When you're praying in tongues, that right there is heaven's commentary. Because he's going to help you understand what you feel like is not understandable. Now, that doesn't mean that you never take the time to look up, say, a Greek word or Hebrew word, you know, a definition or so forth. But I'll warn you now, I'm warning you. You get into some of those definitions and you pull the definition, or no, you take the definition and try to force it into the context, you're going to make a mistake. Because sometimes these words, you have to leave them in the context of the setting. And when you do that, it brings to light a greater, I guess you could say, definition or an understanding of the definition of that word. So you can't simply rely on the Greek and the Hebrew. You've got to add the Holy Spirit in this. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration of God. That means divinely breathed forth by the Spirit of God. In other words, dictated, if you will. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Perfect, fully mature, thoroughly furnished, spiritually equipped unto everything God wants him to do. See that right there? If the Holy Spirit is the one who helped put all this together, then don't you think we ought to rely on him for the explanation? The Holy Spirit spoke to people who put into print what he said. Among the things that the Holy Spirit will do for us is help us understand what he has spoken. In John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And then John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. It should be without question that we must spend time with the Holy Spirit if we desire to comprehend Scripture. This is why it is so vital that Christians pray in tongues. You've got to do this. It's so important. And I know sometimes we, you know, make that decision, I'm going to pray in tongues, and we start out great, and then we kind of slack off. Well, you know what? Get back into it. Just get back into it, because you are accomplishing what God wants accomplished, and you're helping yourself understand the Bible. Praise God. Everybody, please go ahead and stand and just lift your hands, begin to worship the Lord.